descendants and companions, were the stars of guidance and propagators of Quran Karim, and also upon those believers who are their followers in faith. The belief of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah, Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala, they are all Jannatis. And they are a criterion for us. Criterion meaning they are a touchstone for us, a yardstick for us. When you go to a shopkeeper, he's got a measuring stick, a meter stick. You go to any jeweler, he's got a scale by which he measures. And as far as deen is concerned, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that Sahabas are like the stars, whomsoever you follow, you'll be guided. The day of Qiyamah, Sahabas, from wherever they get up, they will be getting up like guiding lights. One important point that we fail at times to realize, that is, the Sahabas are a criterion for us, not only in action. Generally, we just limit it to action. That if we want to do something, we look at the life of Sahaba Ikram, we look at the practice of the Sahaba, we look at the biography of the Sahaba, we look at the life pattern of Sahaba, and then we decide that must I do this action or must I leave this action. And eventually, if Sahaba have not done it, then we leave it. So this is very good. Sahaba are criterion for us, touchstone for us, as far as action is concerned, and also as far as belief is concerned. Our belief, and especially our belief in this age, because there is a lot of inroads being made internally, externally, by internal forces, external forces, all aiming at our belief, trying to corrupt our belief, trying to mislead us, trying to make us believe the wrong things which are not supported in the Quran or Hadith. Just as we look at our actions in the life of Sahaba, we should look at the beliefs in the life of Sahaba. Any person trying to preach or propagate a belief, we should immediately look at the life of Sahaba. That did the Sahaba believe in what this man is saying? Because we claim that we are from the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And this word Jama'ah, unanimously, all great scholars, commentators, muhaddiseen, mutakallimeen, they say this word Jama'ah refers to the Sahaba, none other than the Sahaba. And they paramountly important as beliefs in the life of a Muslim. Two things are basic, belief and action. And we should not blindly follow anybody. We should think carefully what this person is saying. Is it in conformity to the Sharia? What is this person saying? Is it adhering to what Sahaba believed in? Then we will develop true love for Sahaba. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has praised Sahaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in numerous ayats praised Sahaba, and their action and their belief has been sanctioned, approved by Allah Azza wa Jalla. A person is going to Jannah because of his belief, firstly, then his action. And the bottom line is that it is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put us into Jannah, to put whomsoever into Jannah he desires. That is the bottom line. But as the habit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as expounded in the Quran al-Karim, is that a person's belief must be correct first, because upon the belief the action stand. And deen of Islam is lasting compared to any other religion. If you've got Christianity, Jewish religion, if you've got any other walk of life or mode of conduct or any other ideology, they are failing miserably and hopelessly because their beliefs have been shattered, their beliefs have been shaken, their beliefs altered. And Islam, alhamdulillah, is such a deen, perfect, divine, that the beliefs don't move. In the A'immah al-Arba, in the four accepted, approved Imams, Imam Shafi, Imam Hanafi, Malik, we get differences as far as the actions are concerned. But as far as the beliefs are concerned, you will see that they are believing the same thing. And the basic beliefs of Islam are same, and because of this factor, that Islam is able to spread and still spreading. But if you look at the enemies of Islam, they will try to propel against our beliefs. And they will try to make inroads in our beliefs. And that is why, unfortunately, you'll see that they will create such actions amongst us, that they will try to attach those actions to beliefs. Decorate this at certain occasions, do this on certain occasions, which are unfounded, which are baseless, which are not found in the Quran and Hadith, they want you to do. Where there are two celebrations or two joyous occasions in Islam, they will want you to make it three. Where there are occasions where we should stand for Salah, they will try to invent new forms of Salah. They have tried to do these things, and they try to attach belief connotations with this. So we should be very careful and wary. And as Mawlana says, Mawlana Qasim Sahab was saying, that from two sectors we should be very wary. And we should think, and we should be very careful. One is the poets. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the poets in detail too. The poets, because they run with their imaginations, they will say things to suit their imaginations. And they will try to express themselves to suit their imaginations. And the others are the orators, and the storytellers, and the ones who make parables, and the ones who invent stories to mesmerize the people. And together with the stories come the beliefs. And remember that in Islam, people are trying to attack it from two angles. One is that they are saying that reason is above wahi, reason is above divine revelation. They say, no, everything we got to do, we have to have reason for it, rationality for it. You have to prove it, like 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, then I am going to act upon Islam. And there are numerous factions involved in this. And the other is that they come with the sentimental Islam or the emotional Islam and become worked up, try to mesmerize the masses, try to present the Islam and present parables and incidents and stories, and in the whole process give you 1-2 wrong stories and wreck your beliefs up. So we should be very careful, and we should take note. One alim said that these two groups of people are like birds having gold dust. They pass by the people dropping the gold dust, but in the process they leave all other things too. Their own droppings and gold. So we should be careful, and the easiest and safest thing is that you attach yourself to some reliable alim. You attach yourself to some practical alim. You attach yourself to some alim who is cautious. You attach yourself to some alim who won't sell himself. Who won't sell himself for money, for value, for worldly benefit, for any motivation. Who won't sell himself. And you attach yourself to him, and you see that how practical is he. And you see that whether he is striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much he is spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What he is striving for the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you attach yourself to him. And it should be local, so that you can refer to him whenever you want him, and then you can pose your questions to him and get guidance from him. Otherwise, in this age of trial and tribulation, in the stormy waters, it is difficult to survive and to maintain your peace. Allah Azza wa Jal grant us ability to adhere to what Sahaba had brought for us. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. We are discussing the ayah, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. And in this ayah, Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah stated that adherence to the commands, adherence to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is of paramount importance. And we are narrating incidents of the pious predecessors, how they followed Sahaba Ikram, how they followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today I want to narrate to you few incidents of Sahaba's lives, how they adhered to the pattern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uncompromisingly. And in these cases, how they did away with their belongings. And then inshallah I will try to deduce for you that what we are doing today and what people want us to do today and how we are imitating the West. Remember, there are problems. Problems such as kufr beliefs perpetrating or penetrating our homes, or the beliefs of shirk and bidah innovation coming inside our localities. But there is one major problem which we are trying to overlook, and we intentionally overlook, is that how we are imitating the Western world. Last week I stressed on this, and this week again I'm going to stress that how we are imitating the Western world to such an extent that the Ahl al-Bidah, they want us to decorate our shops like how the Christians decorate their shops in Christmas time. Because they feel that the Christians are decorating their shops, and unfortunately the Muslims also, when Christmas comes, they also put those bells and they put those Christmas bunties and all those things. Whereas first of all, it is not permissible to do such things. And Deepavali comes, then our Muslims want to wish the Hindus and the Tamils, they want to wish them good Deepavali. That means you are very happy at their batil ideology. And then when the Christmas comes, then the Muslim wants to wish the Christians happy Christmas. That means you are very happy at their batil ideology. You are very happy and pleased that the person is going to Jahannam. That you are wishing him well, then go to Jahannam. And then we decorate our shops, and we make our shops like their shops. There must be a difference. And this difference we should start learning, and we start preaching and propagating. Our method of transaction is different. Was it reported of one sahabi, one incident comes flashing in mind, that he had a shop and he should do business. After numerous years of trade and transaction, one person came and he returned some goods. Sahabi was so excited and so delighted that the person returned the goods that he closed the shop. The Sahabi who returned the goods inquired that how you and what you did. He said that I've heard Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say that if a person accepts a goods back, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him abundantly in Jannah. For the sole purpose of that I opened the shop. And after numerous years, according to some narrators, they say 12 years, according to some 8 years, he says that I have opened the shop. And now you have returned this good, the purpose of opening the shop has been fulfilled. It is a reporter of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala, who he says that they accompanied Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a journey. And the Sahabi was wearing a light red saffron colored sheet. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then what is this that you are wearing? I felt that this color was not appealing to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When I reached home, a fire was burning. I immediately threw my garment inside the fire. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met me the next day. So where is that sheet? I told him what I had done with it. He remarked, you would have given it to one of the ladies in your house. Women are permitted to wear clothes of that color. See, this is spirit of following exactly what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to follow. If this can only come into our lives, this spirit of following what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to do. Sahabi, after putting that sheet into the fire, did not go and say, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, that sheet that you did not like the color, I put it in the fire. You know, he did not come boasting to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or showing that I did such a good deed. And then, he's not like us, that we'll try to find an excuse. Where can I use it? Go to some mufti. If that mufti don't give you some permissible fatwa, then go to another one and ask him, where can I use it? Until you get one mufti telling you, you can use it somewhere, then say, oh, alhamdulillah, you can use it somewhere. Sahabi immediately took that cloth, which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not pleased with, and put it in the fire. But here Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained it to that cloth could have been used by the ladies. And this color here, which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not very pleased with, red, different color. Unfortunately, the fake peers and those pseudo types of peers wear this color these days. And it has become a pattern that if a person is walking half naked, then he is like half a wali. And if he is walking around and showing his satr, and if he is showing his private parts, then he is like complete wali. Because they say he is reached already. One group of people came to one saint, I think Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh, and told him that there is a group of people who have entered our locality, and they say they have reached. They have reached. So Hazrat Junaid said, are they performing salah? He said, no, they are not performing salah. He said, go tell them they have reached. Verily, they have reached the fire of Jahannam. Go tell them that. And these days, a person comes having big tasbih around his neck and having this different color clothing, yellow, you know, this color, turmeric color, and then he's not reading his salat and saying some strange things. And the most stupid things he says, they try to interpret it as very philosophical and very scientific or very sophisticated. And they say, no, very pious man. He's giving people the ticket of Jannah because he's there already. And then from here on earth, he starts looking and saying, that person is in Jannah, that your son is in Jannah, and you, the people become so excited that this Peer Sahib has seen over the mountain and seen my son in Jannah, they give him some money. That person takes the money and runs away. See, Sahaba Ikram, that they adhered strictly to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one look of displeasure from the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, no, we must leave it. The reporter of one Ansari Sahabi, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed his house, and his house was constructed and there was going to be a dome there. Sahabi immediately came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and greeted him, because he came to know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not pleased with that person. So he came and greeted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned his face. He came and greeted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned his face. And this went on. And then he investigated why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's aversion, why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not happy. And he came to know that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired about his building. He went there and he raised it to the ground. Again you notice, Sahabi, he did not come back running to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, oh Rasulullah, I demolished the building. What a good person I am, I demolished the building. You are displeased. He demolished that building and he would carry on with daily life. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by the same place. He inquired, where is that building with a dome that I saw at that spot last time? Sahaba informed him that the Ansari raised it to the ground. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remarked, every new structure is a sinful burden for its owner, except that which is absolutely essential. This hadith concerns Islam, Islamic buildings, Islamic architecture, and Islamic method of constructing buildings, all those things. A big discussion that is. How we should build our house, how we should build our houses, what sort of rooms we should have, and all those things. Here basically we should know that we should not build such a structure that only 2-3 people are going to be living there, the 16 bedrooms, 4 toilets, who's using all those things? Then you come to know big robberies and people running there, taking this and taking that out. Once, of the wife of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha, she had some money with her. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a journey, she built her room up with unbaked bricks. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his return inquired, why did you do this? She replied, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is only to have better privacy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remarked, the worst use of money is to spend it in raising up buildings. For example, statements like this of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's very difficult for us to accept. Why? Because we are not ready at the moment. Why we are not ready? Because iman is not strong enough. If iman is strong enough, like how Sahaba were, then immediately we will act and we will behave in accordance to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala narrates, I and my mother were once repairing a wall. of our house. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happened to see us working as Jamaat. Your own fall, death, is more at hand than the fall of this wall. And today, unfortunately, how much of our time goes there? It is reported of one Sahabi that he was wearing a ring made of gold. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held the Sahabi's hand, removed that ring and threw it away. It is reported the Sahabi did not turn back and look at the ring. Other Sahabi told him that the Masla, they explained to him the rule, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has removed the ring from your hand because gold men must not use. You can take that, use it, sell it, use it for the woman folk. Sahabi's reply is something to ponder upon. Sahabi is saying that which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has thrown away, I will not pick up. That which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has rejected, I will not pick up. That which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has discarded, I will not pick up. See, this is spirit of what we call following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it comes under the ayat, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, as we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we call, and we call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Strict adherence to whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked us to do would bring us into the limelight, would bring us into the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, these days, the Western world is giving us a whole code of life, and we unfortunately are following that. We are following that exactly where they put their footsteps, we are putting our footsteps. How they buy and sell, we buy and sell. How they set their windows, we set our windows. How they transact, we transact. How they display the goods, we display the goods. How they function in their shops, we function in our shops. Then, how they dress, we dress. What they wear, we wear. How they follow the fashion, we follow the fashion. How they alter the fashion, we alter the fashion. How they so-called go crazy over the fashion, we also go crazy over that fashion. Their men folk are wearing earrings. Unfortunately, Muslim youngsters are wearing earrings. Their women folk, unfortunately, they are dressing atrociously in tops and jeans. You see Muslim also wear. And then when we have to go to the bazaar and you see someone pass, you cannot make out what you pass. You cannot make out whether this is Muslim or not Muslim. You cannot make out whether this man is a Muslim or not Muslim. You cannot make out whether this female is Muslim or not Muslim. And if you have to pass someone, and if he's so-called respectable or he's got some money, and you don't greet him, because you can't make out who, whether he's Muslim or not Muslim, then he will come and say, see, the Mufti don't want to greet him. Or see the other Muslim, he thinks he's wearing a big kurta, he don't want to greet me. Whereas it is written clearly, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi has stated that a person who does not dress like a Muslim and you don't see external signs of a Muslim on him is not necessary for you to greet him. Fuqaha has written that if a person shaves his beard or if he clips his beard and he does not look like a Muslim, then he is not essential for you to greet him. That is the masla. That is the law. So the females, how the kuffar females dress, our females are dressing. How the kuffar males are dressing, our males are dressing. Where the kuffar males are going, our males are going. Where the kuffar females are going, our females are going. And this country especially, because of its political nature, we are going to have more and more immodesty spreading. We are going to have more evil spreading. We are going to have more opportunities of fornication, adultery, wife swapping, all that coming up. Why? Because the kuffar, he got no sense of value. For him to be here, there and everywhere, to water every garden for him is alright. For him to dress his wife nakedly and walk, for him that's a pleasure. Because he is displaying his commodities. And for us, the woman must be protected. Explaining, for example, parda to one person, I stated that a woman is a precious thing. Gold is precious. Gold, you don't take your gold and leave it out in the street. Woman is precious, you don't take it and leave it out in the street. you hide it, you protect it, you safeguard it. And a woman in parda, an example I'll give to explain to you the importance, is a orange. An orange, as long as it's got its peel, you classify it as an orange. And once you remove the peel of the orange and take out the juice, you don't classify it as orange no more, it's something else now. It's a used orange. If someone does not want to look at that orange. Similarly, a woman. A woman in parada is a woman. Because she's aura. And she must be protected. A woman in parada is supposed to be protected, safeguarded. And once you take out the woman from the parada, then she does not remain a woman anymore. Then there's some other commodity attached to it. And that is why everybody wants to take advantage of that fact. The Sahabi called Wahil ibn Ajar radiallahu ta'ala who says, I once visited Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the hair on my head was long. While I was sitting with him, he uttered the word Zubbab, Zubbab, meaning something evil. I thought he was referring to my hair. I returned home and I had my hair cut. Next day when I returned again to him, he said, I never referred to your hair when I uttered these words yesterday. Anyhow, it is good that you had your hair cut. This shows the frame of mind of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala. They were just waiting for the pleasure or displeasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we have bayans given. Today we have lectures given. Today we have lessons. Today we have Friday bayans given. But still our hearts are not moved. Still our attitude does not change. And the root cause is, and the difference is, the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala had conviction. You must remember this point. Sahaba had conviction in Iman, and today we haven't got that strong conviction. Whatever Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, Sahaba fully believed in it. Sahaba fully believed in it, Sahaba acknowledged it, and they said that come what may, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can never be saying wrong. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can never be stating something false. But that is why it is reported of the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She once came. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the home and she was crying. And when she was crying, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her, why are you crying? She said that our child has passed away and I am a mother after all and I'm crying. I'm crying, I'm wondering what is happening to my child. What has become of my child? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that if you wish, I will make dua. I will make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you our child and our child is playing in Jannah. According to one narrator, he said playing and jumping in Jannah. Wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imagine her attitude, imagine her iman. And see what she says. She says, no. That I am certain that if you make dua, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your dua and I will see our child. But maybe my eyesight may fail me. Maybe my eyesight may fail me. But what you have said can never be wrong. What you have said can never be wrong. The word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was held so much in esteem. The word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was held so much lovingly and affectionately that the Sahaba ikram were prepared to spend everything upon. It is reported of what Sahabi Rafi radiallahu ta'ala who says, we were once with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a journey. The sheet that we had spread on our camels were decorated with red thread work on the borders. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I noticed that the red color has begun to catch your fancy. We stood up and dispersed with such confusion at this rebuke, so much so that our camels, seeing our bewilderment, began to run about. We immediately removed the sheets from their backs. Red on their borders. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feared that fancy has come into the life of Sahaba. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one hadith has stated that I do not fear kufr entry or spreading amongst you, but I fear that wealth, love of wealth will destroy or will ruin you. The exactly the same thing applies to every Muslim any part of the world. That in this age especially, in this age of so-called progress, in this age of monetary gain, in this age of financial race, in this age where everything is desired that I must get money and more money. From morning to evening he thinks about how to get more money.